This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the People Speak Radio Show. Glad you could join us this evening. Got a great and very important guest on. You know, usually the term lawyer goes hand in hand with corruption and lies and you know, all kinds of not nice sayings, but every once in a while you run into exceptions to that rule. And we have one of them on the show tonight, an actual respectable lawyer, if you can believe that, highly respectable, true patriotic American. I've read several of his books. He's the co-founder of Trial Lawyers College, and he was, in fact, the defense attorney, didn't even charge him for his services either, for the famous Randy Weaver case, you know, the Ruby Ridge fiasco that many of you are, I'm sure, familiar with back in 92, 93. You know, we'll be, of course, talking about that and other things. Before I bring him on, let me just mention you're listening once again to the People Speak Radio Show. This is your host, Charles Giuliani. And if anybody has any questions or comments during the show for our guest, I invite you to call toll-free. If you're listening internationally, you can call in at 877-489-6350. In Canada or the United States, you can call toll-free at 888-228-4494. And, of course, as always, I'll be taking questions via instant messages over paltalk.com. So if you have any questions, you can send those to Peace Lover or Mike, and we'll forward those over to me. Okay, with no further ado, let me introduce our guest, Jerry Spence. Welcome to the show, Jerry.
Well, thank you, and I was just listening with interest about your sort of sour idea about lawyers. Of course, we don't have any respect for John Adams or Thomas Jefferson or Alexander Hamilton or James Madison or Barack Obama or over half of the presidents of the United States. They're all a bunch of bad guys, right?
Uh-huh. It's really a tragedy, isn't it, that, you know, there have been so many corrupt politicians, so many corrupt lawyers that have ruined the reputation of the honest ones, albeit kind of in the minority these days. But
well, can we take a minute to examine that?
Sure.
You know, you say that there are corrupt politicians and there are corrupt lawyers, but there are corrupt preachers and there are,
sure,
are corrupt radio hosts.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And the question is what would America, what happens to the rights of people, of you and me, Charles, of the people that listen to your show and love you and respect you? What happens to them when nobody will fight them or they can't find a lawyer and they can't trust a lawyer because lawyers have been so demonized that nobody will go to one and nobody will trust them? The only lawyer in this system that is available for people to fight for the rights of people, to make sure that our constitutional rights are preserved, are lawyers. And we're as important to freedom as doctors are to health. Now, there's some bad doctors, too. So let's get off this idea about bad lawyers, because when we demonize them, we take away the rights of people to be protected by them.
Right, yeah, stereotyping.
I wish I had said that as easily as you.
Yeah, actually, I don't think along those terms myself. I just know that people generally, you know, in the general audience do have that opinion. So I wanted to make sure I mentioned that, you know, that's not the case with all of them. Hey, police officers, too. You know, police officers have a very bad reputation, but, you know, I happen to know some that are very decent, so I've got to be careful of that story. I mean, they do that with, you know, races and, you know, racial slurs and whatnot.
Right.
Yeah, it is something we need to get away from. But anyway, let's, Yeah, let's talk about you've got quite an interesting career, and of course, I think your most famous case, or perhaps there's more famous ones I'm not aware of that you can share with us, but I know reading some of your books, like Give Me Liberty, for example, the most famous case that put you on my map anyway was, of course, the Randy Weaver case, not only because of the nature of the case, but, you know, the fact that you, of course, didn't even charge him, and I guess you're pretty well known for that, huh? You are known for helping the underdog against the overdog.
But you see, I'm not the only lawyer that does that.
Oh, sure, yeah.
The world is full of people who don't, they're the real heroes in this country we really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The real heroes in this country are people who fight for other people, mothers who raise their kids and they're never heard of, but raised wonderful citizens, fathers who out busting their fannies in these hard times, under odds that are horrible. These are the real heroes in this country. And
yeah,
I don't have to take a case that I thought where the government overstepped its bounds, and that's what the government does almost continuously. They have this power, Charles.
Right.
They have the power to prosecute, and we've given them that huge power to prosecute our enemies, to prosecute those who will injure us. And what happens, of course, is that when people get power in their hands, they most often abuse it.
Yeah.
And they abused it in the case of Randy Weaver, and they have abused it in every single case that I have ever taken. You will find government abuse at the core of it.
Yeah, unfortunately, you don't have to twist my arm to convince me. I gather that myself. But to have been there and actually seen it firsthand, I only know about it from reading about it.
Yeah.
When you were actually there experiencing it, that must be quite an amazing.
Well,
I just
finished a case in Charles. I just finished a case defending Jeffrey Figer in Detroit. Jeffrey Figer is the lawyer who defended Dr. Kevorkian. You remember Dr. Kevorkian?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Dr. Kevorkian, they used to call him Dr. Death, but somebody who believed that it was humane to put people out of their misery or to at least help them get out of their misery when there was no hope.
Right.
Sort of like we can do it for our beloved dogs, but we can't do it for our beloved loved ones.
Yeah.
And anyway, he was charged, Mr. Figer was charged with having made illegal campaign contributions. And he was charged by the Bush administration, by the power structure involved.
Wow.
And they took out after him. He has been an enemy of that power structure. And the thing that is frightening is when we give that huge power to the United States government, and they use that power against us, against our rights, against their political enemies. You know, we didn't give them power to destroy their political enemies. We gave them power to take care of us. And when they violate that trust, it's called betrayal, and that's what they did there. Charged him with 10 counts and violations that included not only counts of conspiracy, but counts of obstruction of justice. And when it was all, after 7 weeks of trial, the jury said, no way. And they acquitted Mr. Figer on all counts.
Wow. That's fantastic. That must give you a good feeling when you're able to do that. I find it funny, though, that they would charge someone with conspiracy. That's calling the kettle black. But let me tell you, you've gone up against not only big government, but big business as well, right? Have you not defended people against corporate interests?
That's right. I have. The people are, if we don't have, let me toot the horn again, if we don't have trial lawyers out there to fight for us, guess who becomes our king? The king is government.
Mm-hmm.
Large corporations that own and control government.
Right, yeah. i.e. fascism. So, again, the most famous case, and certainly we can talk about others too. I'm sure you've got quite a few interesting stories. You just related one.
But do you remember? Do you remember the Karen Silkwood case?
Oh, sure. Were you involved in that?
Well, that was my case.
Oh, I didn't know that. It's been so long since I saw the movie. Was your name mentioned in the movie?
I don't know. No, it wasn't.
Or they must have used a fictitious. Yeah, I never knew that. Wow.
Yeah. Karen Silkwood case was mine. It was the first case that called the government and corporations to the task of looking into determining whether or not the protections that they were giving their employees in
wow.
nuclear power plants and in nuclear facilities.
I didn't know you were involved. So you've been on the map even before the Weaver, because that goes back to, what, the 80s, right?
I've been around a long time. I'm 80 years old, my friend.
Wow, are you kidding? You could have fooled me. Jeez.
Well, I'm still around, kicking around.
In spite of all that stress, you're still in good health, huh?
I hope so.
Well, all the power to you. And you're still doing it, huh? You're still an active lawyer?
That's right. Well, I just finished the case for Mr. Figer in Michigan.
Oh, right, yeah. That's amazing. Wow. Jeez, you got quite a...
Well, it scares me. It scares me to death because every time I open up the New York Times, and you'll forgive me for mentioning that I read the New York...
I'll forgive you, yeah.
But every time I open that up, I'm on my computer, I'm looking right at the obituaries. And all these people are dead. I mean, they die at 70 and 65 and 70. And 78, and there hardly anybody lives as long as I. And I'm thinking to myself, man, this is getting pretty frightening out there.
Well, you must be around for a purpose. You've done a lot of good over the years, so.
We'll only talk about the good things I've done. We'll try not to get into the bad stuff I've done.
Well, we've all done some of that, but I'm sure your good stuff far outweighs that. I can't tell you enough how much I've got respect for you. That again, the Weaver case, I studied that quite a bit. I've read your books, and some of the stuff you relay in there is just absolutely horrific. How the FBI, gave forged documents, they lied, they withheld information. The judge ordered them even to pay you the attorney fees for Mr. Weaver, and they never complied. Of course, you never even charged him attorney fees. By the way, how have you managed to survive over the years? You've given so many people, defense free of charge.
Well, that's a good take. That's a good question. But I do personal injury cases as well, and I do those on a contingency basis. My firm does so that if somebody is seriously injured and we sue a corporation for that injury, let's say a doctor is out having himself a party and getting drunk while the mother's trying to have her baby and the baby is born so that the baby will be a quadriplegic and can't speak and can't walk for the rest of his life, and the jury gives an award of millions of dollars, I'll get a percentage of that for having taken the case.
Ah.
So, yes, you're right. I have to make a living, and I have made a living. And but that doesn't prevent, I think, good lawyers from taking cases that need to be taken free. And
right.
I know many trial lawyers who do. Speaking of that,
mm-hmm.
trial lawyers have been so demonized by corporate America and by big government that some of the trial lawyer organizations even have changed their name. For example, in California, which is loaded with really decent, good, experienced, qualified trial lawyers, have changed their name from Trial Lawyers of California to the Consumer Lawyers of California. Now, can you imagine that you have had your profession, the one that's so important to the liberty of people, so demonized,
mm-hmm.
that you have to change your name?
Wow. Yeah, they certainly have made a mockery of the so-called justice system. There is no justice for the most part anymore because of...
Well, that's right. I hate to admit that, but justice in this country is pretty darn hard to get, and it's mostly a myth.
Mm-hmm. We have a facade of legality in our courts.
It's mostly available for the rich and the powerful.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. You know, before we go any further, I'm sure listeners definitely want to get your information, in case they ever come up against any legal battles. So I'd like to give you the opportunity now, and of course maybe later again in the show, to mention your website. Is there a site officially for the...
Well, I've got a blog. I've just started a blog that they might enjoy. And I don't even know. I've been on the... let's see. What is it? It's News Press. It's Jerry Spence, I think one word, .newspress.com.
JerrySpence.newspress.com. And Jerry, of course, is G-E-R-R-Y.
Right, and I write about all of these sort of things. I've written 17 books, and once you get somebody like me out writing every day, he can't quit. So that's what I'm doing now is writing and this blog. So I cover a lot of things that are interesting to me, like what is it about growing old? What does that mean? Are we really free? Have we given up our freedom? How do you get along with cantankerous old irate judges? What does the death penalty mean? What is murder all about? Aren't we all ultimately in our hearts murderers? Questions like that that I have fun writing about and some people are responding to. So thanks for the chance to talk about that.
Yeah, and thank you for coming on. Once again, an honor to have you on. I wanted to go back to the Randy Weaver case, something that's always interested me. I'm curious, how did you wind up being his defense attorney? Did he come to you, or did you hear about him and give him a call? Or?
None of the above. So they've got poor Randy Weaver barricaded in his house, surrounded with tanks and big guns, and they've killed... they've shot the dog, the family dog, and they've shot the little 12-year-old boy in the back and killed him.
Yeah.
They have wounded Mr. Feiger, Mr. Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
Shot him, and he's shot and wounded in the shoulder. Kevin Harris is also wounded. That's the young man that was with him, was staying
yeah.
with.
Right.
And they've shot Mrs. Weaver
right.
while she's standing in the door, holding the door
right in
open.
The face.
Yeah, and they've killed her.
Yep.
With the baby in her arms.
Yep.
Now they're going to kill Randy and the two little girls inside, and Kevin Harris, and along comes a guy by the name of Bo Gritz. Have you ever heard of him?
Oh, sure. I've interviewed him before. Yeah.
Yeah, all right, so along comes Bo Gritz. And he says, let me go talk to him. He says to the feds, I think I can work something out. So in marches Bo Gritz to seize Randy, and he says to Randy, Randy, if you will surrender, Jerry Spence will defend you. Well, I had never talked to Bo Gritz. I never had made any such agreement. I had never talked to Randy Weaver. The only thing I knew about the case was what I'd read and saw on television. So, believing that, Randy said, okay, I'll surrender. So he surrendered with himself, his wife, his girls, and Kevin Harris. They all surrendered. Well, now, what was I supposed to do? A man surrenders based upon the promise that I would defend him. So I fulfilled a promise that I didn't make. That's how that came about.
That's how that came about, yeah. I remember watching, I think it was Dan Rather. You were walking along, this is after the... I don't know if it was during the trial or after it, but anyway, I remember the comment you made to him. Basically, he was asking you, I think it was Dan rather, but anyway, he says, why would you bother defending this man? You know, he's basically...
It wasn't public... Tom Brokaw.
Oh, it was Brokaw, okay.
It was
I just remember you...
Yeah.
That was a classic.
He was asking me about how Randy Weaver would fight like he did.
Yeah.
And I said, well, do you see that hole over there? And
yeah.
And Tom Brokaw looks over and he says, where? I said, right there. There was no hole there, but he caught on that I was about to make a point. Right there, I said, oh, yeah, he said, yeah, I see that hole. I said, well, there's a rabbit in that hole, a tiny little soft, furry, fluffy rabbit. But if you reach down into that hole and try to grab hold of the rabbit and pull it out, it will bite you.
Mm-hmm.
And Randy Weaver was a rabbit.
Yep. He had every right to be in his hole. He wasn't bothering anybody. They came to him over a false pretext. I mean, basically, they set him up.
Yeah,
they did set him up, yeah.
This happens over and over again.
Yeah. If they want you, that's it.
That's it.
You're in trouble. It's like you're a victim of the Inquisition in the Dark Ages. You know, you can
now tell me, Charles, who's going to defend you when that happens?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, you're a good sport.
So, yeah, here it is. They killed his wife, they killed his son, they killed his dog, traumatized him, had him, you know, locked up for a time, and, you know, his life was not only ruined in that sense of losing his family, but now he faces possible life sentence. Go ahead.
No, I was just... Go ahead.
Well, let's bring it up now to the actual court case. You want to share with us some of the things? I remember reading your book. Every page I turned, it just got worse and worse. It was just horrific. Even the judge said that this is a sad day in America when you cannot get a federal institution to comply with a court order, meaning the FBI. I mean, it's astonishing.
Yes. Well, they wouldn't. They had hidden evidence that they wouldn't provide. Under Brady versus United States, Brady versus Maryland, we're entitled to evidence that may show that you're not guilty. They hid evidence I can remember it was a drawing that Horiuchi had made. The fellow who shot all of these people, or some of these people. He's the one that shot Randy Weaver, shot Mrs. Weaver, shot Kevin Harris. Sitting over there with a high-powered sniping gun with a telescope sight, you know, you could shoot a bug off of a teacup at 500 yards. In any event, the judge was very upset with them, and so was I. And they made up stories. For example, Randy Weaver shot from... a warning shot up in the air to try to warn his little boy, Sammy. He shot up in the air. Now the Fed produced a bullet. This reminds us of the Kennedy Oswald case.
Right.
The Feds produced a bullet that they said was shot from the house down into the... to where little Sammy was found dead.
Mm.
And that's why the feds fired, because they got fired on by that bullet. Well, the bullet, in order to get there, had to go through a half a mile of thick forest. I don't mean sparse trees. I mean a forest that you couldn't see 20 feet ahead of.
Yeah,
a mile of it. There wasn't a mark on the bullet.
Unbelievable.
It was that kind of made-up testimony that came from the FBI.
And then, like you said, they've just been doing this over and over, case after case. They actually made a hero out of the one who shot at Vicky, right?
That's exactly right.
Purple Heart for Valor.
Yeah, then there was this... Of course, you know, I recently have finished a case... Well, it's not finished. It's still in the courts on appeal, but we've just finished a case of the... attacking the Patriot Act as unconstitutional.
Ah, oh, tell us about that.
And in that was I did that along with a friend of mine whose name I'll tell you in just a second. I'm having a senior moment.
You're entitled to that.
Eldon Rosenthal. And Eldon has done a marvelous job on the law in the case, and he and I took on the United States there and
cut
new swaths. I think we're the only people in the history of American jurisprudence who got the United States to apologize for having charged a citizen wrongfully. They charged Mr. Mayfield wrongfully with having something to do with blowing up that train in Spain that killed 200 and some people. You remember?
Right, 311, yeah.
They said that Mr. Mayfield, a lawyer in Oregon, who was married to a Muslim woman, was a Kansas farm boy who eventually married a Muslim woman. So they decided that he was guilty of having provided some of the involvement. His fingerprints, they said, were found on the blue plastic bag that contained the detonator of the bomb that blew up. Well, guess what? The FBI is like the Pope. I mean, they are infallible. They don't make mistakes.
Never.
And particularly on fingerprints, because there is no such thing as a mistake with a fingerprint, except we found out, and they finally admitted after we jerked them around in the courtroom for a while, that they had made a mistake, and he was not involved in any way. And here they tried to say that he was involved. They had these fingerprints. They
love you.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing, with all that you've done, that you're alive at all. Never mind to have made it to the age of 80. That's just astonishing. You know what? Let's hold that thought and pick up then when we get back. We've got to take a short break. But stick with us. We'll be right back with Attorney Jerry Spence. Are we off?
We used to write letters to each other a lot, and it was intimidating to talk to him sometimes because he just seemed so isolated by himself.
She started talking about how she wishes that her life was over and she wishes that she was never born.
So I knew he had depression, but I didn't know it was that far.
Said something to me about killing himself.
Tell somebody, tell an adult, a counselor, parent, whatever.
It's a hard situation because you do risk making that person very angry and losing their friendship.
It would have been horrible for me if she never talked to me again, but I'd live with it because I know she'd be alive.
Definitely worth getting help, even if you think you're going to lose a friendship, because it's better to lose the friendship than the actual friend.
Suicide is one of the leading causes of death among teens. For more information, contact the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, 888-333-AFSP, or online at afsp.org.
Are you appalled that our country is spending billions on war while cutting funds for our libraries, hospitals, and schools? Are you heartsick at the suffering of the Iraqi people? Then join me, Medea Benjamin, in signing Code Pink's urgent call for peace in Iraq. Sign on today at www.womensaynotowar.org.
We teach them how to tie their shoes. They teach us how to live our lives. We teach them long division. They teach us how to bank online. Our children will always outgrow us, but for the first time in generations, they may not outlive us. Over the last 25 years, the percent of overweight children aged 6 to 11 has doubled. The percent of overweight teenagers tripled. Obesity kills. Heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, all are linked to obesity, a problem that could be greatly reduced just by having a place to exercise. Right now, people are working hard to put parks and playgrounds where children live, where children will use them. Finding out how you can help is as easy as tying your shoes. Log on to earthshare.org now, a public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
This land is yours.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact the world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern, on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. Thousands of sick and dying patients find marijuana effective as a medicine, including cancer, MS, and AIDS patients. 9 states have legalized its use. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the World Food Program.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the city wall, by the relief fast summer.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to the People Speak radio show here on the BBS Radio Network. And the website again is thepeoplespeak.net. And our guest again is famous attorney Jerry Spence. He's been sharing some interesting stories with us. Yeah, you know, we got cut off there in the break. You were in the middle of a story. Did you want to finish that? And then after that, I wanted to take some questions we're getting.
Well, you see, I bet you can't remember what we were talking about.
Yeah, I was hoping you would. I'm trying to remember now. Which case was it now? It was the, the Patriot Act.
Randy Weaver, or the Mayfield case.
Yeah.
Mayfield. Well, the United States government and the FBI were going to had him taken into custody, had Mayfield taken into custody. They said, "Look, he's a Muslim, and he is following." They followed him around. They had people on his tail. They tapped his phone lines. They kept claiming that he must be lying because, or have a phony passport, because his passport and their record showed that he'd never left the country. And that must be phony because they had him in Spain with the fingerprints. Well, eventually the Spanish federal people and experts said, look, if this is not a match. And they went over there, the FBI went over to Spain, trying to talk the Spanish into changing their position. The Spanish says, no, this isn't even close. This isn't the man. Finally, they realized that they had made a terrible mistake. And so, to my knowledge, we are the only people, Mr. Rosen, and I are the only lawyers who have ever received an apology in writing from the United States government. And besides that, they paid us a couple of $1 million.
No kidding.
Paid our client a couple of $1 million for what they did to him. And they permitted us to proceed. Even after we had got that much of a settlement, we are still proceeding in the Federal District Court on the Court of Appeals on the constitutionality of the Patriot Act. That's what's really important, is that piece of
legislation. Absolutely. Yeah, go after that with a vengeance, boy. It's just astonishing.
Yep, it means that act says, in effect, that, well, isn't it interesting that you become a patriot if you are charged under an act where you've lost your rights?
Yeah, some George Orwellian doublespeak for you there, huh?
That's it, for sure.
Boy, and we thought we had it bad in previous administrations. This one takes the cake, doesn't it?
It certainly does. So where are you?
I'm up near Boston.
Near Boston. How's Massachusetts going to go for Obama?
Yeah, so far, unless Diebold steps in and rigs it, but... So far, across the board, he's definitely got the popular vote on his side.
You're worried about Diebold?
Well, I mean, they rigged the last election, and they've rigged several local elections around the country, so congressional elections, too, so
well,
I don't put anything...
Didn't they do that in Ohio?
Sure, yeah. Well, there's a couple other states, too, but mostly Ohio. That was the key state, and I don't know if you heard this, but in December of 2003... George Odell, I think his name is. He's the CEO for Diebold. He actually said, they quoted him in New York Times. I do read that on occasion myself too. I apologize, but he actually said that we're going to deliver the electorals to the president next year in Ohio.
Pretty frightening.
It really is.
Well, you see what we've done in America. It makes a democracy almost impossible.
Yeah.
If it weren't for the trouble the country's in economically, if this hadn't been for the this economic meltdown, I don't think we could elect a Democrat, and I don't think we certainly couldn't elect Obama. And if you'd have told me 2 years ago that a man named Barack Hussein Obama, who is black, could be elected to anything in America,
right,
much less the presidency, I would say you're crazy. But what's happened here, of course, is that the economic meltdown has permitted the people to start to listen and to look and to hear.
That's
so they are
up,
seeing
yeah.
a man who is intelligent and caring and has depth to him and who they feel they can trust. And the question is, can they put aside their prejudices? And I'm hopeful that they can. I'm hopeful that we will be able to do that, because if we can do that, think of the position that America will now have around the world.
Sure. I know that people are fed up with the Republicans / neocons. I mean, this is, they're the ones that mostly got us in this mess, no question about it. And this kind of leads us into our first question I wanted to ask you here from one of our listeners. This is from Debbie in Louisiana. She asks, what is Mr. Spence's opinion on the bailout? Isn't that lovely, huh?
Well, you see, we all have our opinions, but I think we have to be careful about how we express them, because I don't think any of us know enough about the economics of this country and to really understand and to pass judgment on it. But it seems to me that we do have to have credit. If we don't have credit, if the banks won't lend any money, then where are we? The guy can't run his business. Business is shut down. People don't have any employment. But the bigger thing is now, is coming up, is that how about credit cards? They are... We're in huge trouble with credit cards.
Sure.
And what are we going to do about this very idea that if we put all this money with the top, that somehow it will leak down?
Yeah.
And what do we do about this idea of socialism, the idea that we're against socialism? We've got socialism with the banks and the big corporations, but the people are operating under capitalism.
Mm.
Isn't that a very interesting turnabout of affairs?
Mm-hmm.
The banks and the corporations are saying, we don't want, quote, socialism, but when they get into trouble, of course, that what they want, and they look toward the government to save them and to even own them. But
right.
The people don't get that.
Only when it works in their favor, yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that we have to begin to think about working from the bottom up a little bit. I think we need to begin to think about public works like FDR had when I was a kid. We have to begin to think that maybe it isn't from the bottom, from the top down, but that should trickle, but that it should start from the bottom and trickle upward.
Right, right. I mean, we've had almost three decades worth of this now, and obviously it's a complete failure. You know, and those who understand the nature of corporate lust for profit, you know, knew from the beginning that that just doesn't work that way.
That's right.
Yeah. We were sold a rotten bag of goods on that one. I got another question. This is from Mike in California. He asks if you've ever heard of Tracy Barker. She, of course, was the American woman who worked overseas for Halliburton as a contractor in Iraq. And I guess she was raped by her supervisor and then sexually molested by a State Department official and still has not found justice. Are you familiar with her case?
No, I don't. I'm not familiar with it. This is the first I've heard of it.
Well, unfortunately, this is not uncommon anymore, is it? You know, you're seeing all kinds of stuff like this going on.
It doesn't surprise me.
Are you familiar with the Bruce Ivins case? You know, he's the one the FBI has fingered as the one responsible for the anthrax mailings.
No, I've just again, from what I've read, but when the FBI fingers somebody, I don't tend to give it much credibility.
Yeah, exactly. As you might guess, there's been all kinds of problems.
When I went to law school, Charles, some 55 years ago, when I was 56 years ago, we were taught in law school that if the FBI agent got on the stand and said that these fingerprints matched, or he got on the stand and said this bullet came from this gun, whatever the FBI said, you do not question because their integrity is beyond reproach. They are absolute, unquestioned scientists, and you can believe them no matter what. And what you do on cross-examination is you stand up and you shrug your shoulders and you say, no questions.
Oh,
well, that isn't the way it is anymore. That isn't the way it is anymore.
Oh, you mean when they taught that, it was true back then? Is that what you're saying? I thought that they were just giving you propaganda.
Well, that's what we were taught. I don't know that it was true.
Oh, okay.
Not that. And back in those times, nobody was really taking a hard look at government, at the government power structure.
Yeah.
We didn't have television like we have. We didn't have...
Well, no question. I'm sure way back then, you know, there's always been corruption, but I'm sure it was nothing like, there were a lot more honest FBI agents, I'm sure, back then. And
all that in the olden days.
Yeah, sure.
In the olden
days. Now it's, you know, those are the exception now, not the rule.
Well, I am certain that if you know, even in this last case, the Figer case, there were situations where it was pretty obvious that the FBI hadn't been straight with us, hadn't told us everything that they should have told us. The FBI's credibility was called into question in the trial. Their failure to be totally candid and above board had something to do with the, I'm confident, with the acquittal of Jeffrey Figer.
Right. Incredible. Boy, to have been around, you know, for the several decades that you have in working in, you know, as a defense lawyer, it must be astonishing to see the changes that have taken place. I mean,
I'm like you. I don't know whether the changes are a result of the actual change in the moral fiber of the Federal Bureau, or whether or not the change has been a result of our ability to expose it. But we do remember the shenanigans of Hoover,
J. Edgar Hoover,
who was finally held up for the rascal that he was and for the things he did and the power that he used. And Charles, what we see over and over again, whether it's with the FBI or with politicians or with corporate executives, does it make any difference? Power, as Lord Acton said, power corrupts.
Absolutely.
Power corrupts, and you were going to finish the rest of it. Say it.
Yeah. Absolute power corrupts, absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so, you know, that's one of the things that's wrong with our political system. The ancient Chinese, Charles, took the position that those who wanted power ought not to be trusted with it. And the question is why do people want power? Why do people want power? Why, for example, in our current election, will politicians do everything within their power, no matter how dishonest, how ugly, how negative, how fictional it may be, they will do anything to maintain power. And very frankly, we haven't seen the end of it yet. You're going to see a lot more of it before these next 2 weeks are completed. And I'm just getting tired of holding my breath.
Unfortunately, I think you're right. I mean, they've done nothing but monkey with us from day one. You know, we've always had corrupt things going on, you know, with pretty much every presidency for decades on end. But there's been nothing that they have done that's been in the interest of this country at all, or that he could even be twisted and interpreted that way. You know, at least with other presidencies, some of the things they did were, you know, commendable. Nothing, absolutely nothing has come out of this administration that you could point a finger at and say, well, at least they did that. Nothing.
Well, only thing that could be... they could be accredited with is the giving us the opportunity to change control of both houses of Congress. We can credit them with that, perhaps.
Yeah, waking people up to see how bad things have gone. I guess we owe them gratitude for that.
Yeah, right.
Wow. Anyway, time is running by on us. I wanted to go through a few more questions here. This is from Jack in Canada. He says, what's your opinion of the impeachment procedure, and do you think that it's adequate to prevent tyranny? I think he might be, well, I would like to add to that not only impeachment procedure, but the move by Bugliosi. Are you familiar with Vincent Bugliosi and his...
Yeah, did you ever see the Lee Harvey Oswald television trial? A trial of Lee Harvey Oswald for the assassination of Kennedy. Bugliosi and I did that. We did that. It was filmed in London. And the people in London brought over the British people that filmed this brought over an actual jury from Dallas.
I didn't know that.
And we had the actual witnesses and an actual federal judge, and we tried the case. Bugliosi was for the prosecution. I was for the defense.
Oh, wow.
Ran several times. But I hunched it. Well, that must have been 25 years ago. So.
I'll have to look that. It's probably on the Internet. I'll have to look that up. I never heard of that. That's interesting.
Yeah, well, you were probably still a little wet behind the ears.
Yeah. But that's interesting.
Well, we were talking about impeachment from Jack in Canada.
Yeah.
And I don't know what he wants to talk about exactly with respect to impeachment. If he's talking about Bugliosi's book and the right to impeach Bush and people and the people that are in his administration. I think that Bugliosi is very, very accurate and right.
Mm-hmm.
Grounds for impeachment exist, but you see, it's That's a political matter and a political issue, and it's too hot and too laden with fear, because once politicians begin to impeach each other, there's no end. We're still fighting Republicans who are mad at the Democratic Party for having gone after Nixon. And they have never forgiven the Democrats for that. We're still fighting the Republican Party for having gone after Borg when they were trying to confirm him for the United States Supreme Court. The memories of politicians are very, very long. And the impeachment process against Clinton caused anger, and it caused resentments and needs for retribution. And so politicians are really afraid to bring impeachment proceedings if the case isn't absolutely clear. Now, the world court, you see, we never joined. And the world court is something else. The world court deals with the prosecution of world leaders for crimes, a violation of crimes, the world's crimes,
right.
Criminal
crimes against humanity. Yeah,
against humanity. Yes, and violation of the Geneva Convention and all the rest. We didn't join. Why didn't we join? You tell me, why didn't we join?
Because they commit some of the biggest crimes against humanity.
Yes, because we didn't join, because if we had joined, perhaps we would have subjected ourselves to the jurisdiction of the world court and people like Rumsfeld and Nixon and Bush and others would be charged with crimes, along with Cheney, who, by the way, is a Wyoming person, where I live.
Oh, yeah, right from your home state there. Yeah.
I shouldn't admit that, but I have.
How did that happen?
Well, you know, he was a Wyoming has only one representative to the House of Representatives. Cheney was a representative of the House of Representatives from Wyoming for many years. And from there, he went on to the various Republican administrations in as secretary of this or that or whatever, and became quite entrenched in Republican politics.
Mm. I take it you've never been hunting with him.
No.
Anyway, we got time, I think, for one more question. Unfortunately, it's really run by on us here. But once again, I want to thank you. This has been a great interview. This final question here is from April in Mississippi, and she asks, do you believe that George Bush and Dick Cheney should stand trial for starting an illegal war in Iraq?
Yeah, you know, I believe that. And yet, let me talk about that for just a second or two.
Sure, and that's the gist of Bugliosi's book.
I read Obama's book, and when I first read his book, he was saying, you know, I don't think Mr. Bush is a bad man.
Oh.
I think he's illy advised, and I don't think he has an evil heart.
Mm.
To me, when I said that, I thought to myself, you know, these are war criminals.
Right.
These people should be charged with crimes.
Sure.
And I can't believe that we should proceed any further, and certainly not with Mr. Obama, until such time as he understands that you can't turn your back on these war criminals.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is that he's finally right, I believe. I've changed my mind. I believe that despite the fact that they are war criminals, we have to bring this country together. We have to bring Republicans and Democrats and independents together. And if we can't do that, we can't survive. And so it is the price that we have to pay in order to get the cooperation of good people on both sides to save this nation.
Yeah. Now, the truth is, most people in this country simply aren't capable of handling the truth anyway. so inundated with the idea that government is their hero and savior and they would never do anything wrong or, you know, never do anything against your interest. It's really sad. We've got a bunch of adults walking around with baby brains, you know,
well, but
childlike.
But you see, television has dumbed us all down.
Sure.
Absolutely
movies.
Dumbed the whole country down.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all by design, I believe, too.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we have run out of time. I wish we had more time because I know you've got a lot more interesting things to share. But once again, thank you, Mr. Spence, not only for coming on the show, but for the great work you're doing. I'm sure the whole country is pleased with the work that you're doing. Once again, is there an actual website for Trial Lawyers College?
Yeah, triallawyerscollege.com. It's one word, triallawyerscollege.com. It's my pro bono college.
Excellent. There you go, folks. If you're looking for a good defense attorney, these are the people to get in contact with. Okay, thanks again, Mr. Spence, and I'll be talking to you again.
Thank you so much, Charles.
You bet. Take care.
Bye.
Okay, folks, that's it for tonight. I hope you enjoyed the show. Great man there. Definitely a lawyer to respect and honor. Tomorrow evening, Kathy Najimy, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, she played the Sister Mary Patrick in Sister Act 1 and 2. She's also the voice for Peggy in the King of the Hill cartoon. So she'll be joining us tomorrow here on the People Speak Radio. And I'll see you next week with another great guest, folks. Until then, have a good week and take care.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the city wall, by the relief of the fast, I saw my people. And they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream water. Yeah, this land was made for you and me.